Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to our last guest, Sarah Anderson. Boy, those numbers are just shocking. We're going to put a link to their report. This is the report from the Institute for Policy Studies Global Economy Project. They put out the CEO to worker pay report every few years. This number bears repeating, folks, from 2019 through 2024. That's just 5 years. The low-wage 100 companies spent $644 billion on stock buybacks. That's more than what they spent on long-term capital expenditures. It's absolutely insane. And at least 32 billionaires owe their wealth to low-wage 100 companies. So, yeah, people are getting fat cat off of our backs. And it's time we say something about it. I am very happy to have back with me former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Thanks for sticking around with me on this Tuesday afternoon, James.
Maggie, always a pleasure. And as both you and I recall well, when we were working in federal and county and municipal government, salaries nowhere near that, nor should they be, by the way. But again, people who are working in the public trust, as the representative from Beloit in your previous segment affirms, great, wonderful people like that. And then at the far extreme, these folks who, again, in terms of, not that they don't contribute something, but in terms of overall supporting who we are as a society, at that level of compensation, again, words fail. Shocking, stunning, outrageous, all of those things at the same time.
There's no one on earth that needs to be paid $100 billion a year for any job. No one. I don't care what it is. Unless you can solve world hunger, bring world peace, and figure out how to harness the positive capabilities of AI in your year's worth of work, it ain't worth it. Here are some of the Wisconsin CEOs that are getting fat off of our backs. Again, these numbers are truly staggering. And keep in mind, like, Wisconsin's top CEO C-suite compensation is quite a goodly bit less on average than most other places in the country, simply because Wisconsin's average earnings are a little bit lower. So the Fiserv CEO, this guy is now, I believe, appointed to be the commissioner of the Social Security Administration. He who shall never need Social Security should definitely be running that department. Yeah, the Fiserv CEO, Frank Bisignano, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, according to Bruce Murphy of Urban Milwaukee, he is the, quote, poster boy for America's wealth gap. He was paid $23.77 million in total comp, more than any other CEO in Wisconsin. But if you think, well, that doesn't sound that bad, I'm sure Frank really needed it. No, Frank did not, because before heading up Fiserv here in the Badger State, he was the CEO of First Data, where he earned $102 million in a single year. So speaking of people not ever being worth $100 million. Other CEOs rounding out the top compensation here in the state of Wisconsin. This one was the one that really got me going, Jim. It's Kohl CEO, a guy by the name of Ashley Buchanan. Boy names who. Ashley Buchanan was supposed to earn $20.9 million, but he didn't actually get all of it because he served as CEO only from January to May of this year, and then Kohl's fired him. He had barely hit his 100-day mark due to, quote, unethical conduct. Well, that's lovely. He still got a huge chunk of it and only had to return part of his $2.5 million signing bonus. Jim, how do we get one of these on their jobs? They sound like pretty sweet deals.
Right. And as you and your previous guests indicated, when you think about those monetary amounts, I'm not good at math. I know you are. But you think about what you have to do in 1 hour, the quality of the work that you have to provide to the company, to your shareholders, whoever it is, what are you doing in that hour? And is not every single 10-second period then incredibly important in terms of value? And if somebody stops by in your office door and talks, all those kinds of things go through the mind as you think about the extraordinary amount of money that these folks are making. And again, there's some expertise here, we'll all acknowledge that. But at these levels, given where we are economically, generally across America today, again, stunning, shocking, and obscene.
I did the math as you are talking, assuming a 2,000 a year work hour, which is a lot of work, right? That works out to be, oh, well, let's see, $11,885 an hour. Jim, we know some lawyers who like to charge a few thou an hour, but 12 grand an hour?
That's exorbitant even for our side of the professional workforce, is it not?
Truly insane, especially when you take it in the context of having this discussion that I had with my guest in the last hour, Clinton Anderson, a representative, and we were talking about local government funding problems. And I'm looking at an article by Royce Podeska, I believe it was in the Cap Times. Wisconsin's cash-strapped school districts likely to turn to voters again for more funding. That article coming out yesterday. Truly, truly shocking. We were also, to relate it back to my interview with Representative Anderson, we were talking about the shortage of police officers in some of our smaller and more rural communities. That police officer shortage and dwindling ranks and low recruitment numbers is also playing out at the federal level, despite Director Kash Patel's claims that recruitment is booming. No, it's not. And if that were true, then why would they have to get rid of the FBI admittance standards? Jim, you worked with FBI agents and the Federal Bureau of Investigation all the time as a U.S. attorney. The main components for an FBI agent was that you absolutely, including a gamut of other prerequisites, the main thing that most people know is you have to have a college degree.
Yes.
And then you got to get through Quantico, which is an 18-week program.
Right.
And so that genius, Kash Patel, taking the world's probably most elite or one of the most elite law enforcement agencies in the world, oh, no more college degree, and you don't need 18 weeks. We think 8 will do.
8 is enough, right? Quantico, made famous by a television show and also Silence of the Lambs. It's where every federal agent, and I would also underscore, also following up on what Representative Anderson said, many local and state law enforcement go there as well to get training. Yes. It's an amazing place. And again, the more time you can get there, the better you will be. It's your education to do your job well. But again, we're going to cut that almost by 2/3 or so. And then a bachelor's degree. I know there are an awful lot of debates out there about the quality of and the meaning of a bachelor's degree. When it comes to federal agents, it has value, right? Not only because of the law enforcement training that they're probably getting. Many of them have law enforcement degrees, even at that level. But also it provides an insight into the world in which they are going to be providing service. And so those two things, what Kash Patel and your favorite person, of course, Dan Bongino, he's got his hands all over this also, Maggie, are welcoming these new classes of recruits. Neither of those are required. And also, interestingly, an awful lot of reporting indicating that the remaining long-term tenured agents who are still there despite all these recent firings and departures are very concerned about the quality of the law enforcement work that will be done by the FBI. The FBI, again, fights crime generally, but typically, as you know well, your listeners know well, FBI tends to be focused upon national security issues, big complex matters, and it is local authorities who do the grassroots, in the weeds kind of work day-to-day basis. It's a different kind of work. And now what we're doing is we're saying those qualifications to do that, it's not higher level work, it's a different kind of work. We're going to limit those and draw those back so we get people who are not as qualified. And one day, maybe not right away, one day that will have an impact upon the nature of the investigative work that's being done in our communities right here in Wisconsin, I promise you.
Well, Jim, they're estimating that given the buyouts, the sort of enforced retirements, and a lot of people just not wanting to work there anymore, that this coupled with that will lead to the loss of some 5,000 agents. This in an agency who only has about 11,000 special agents in total. So like you're looking at loss of about nearly half of that force. And here's the thing. Does Donald Trump also prefer like the big criminals, just like he prefers like big corporations and big, big, big money donors? And here's why I say that. If you take the FBI off of terrorism and massive corruption cases, and they're not trying to bust international rings of drug lords and human smugglers, that's as good as giving a green light to kind of corruption and crime at scale. The FBI following 9/11, right? There was a mandate across the federal government when they created the Department of Homeland Security and led to these coordination efforts across all of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies to focus on what I'm going to call crime at scale, terrorist organizations, right? And what now? We're going to investigate street crimes at the FBI. And I found it also interesting. I've heard from a couple of people that I know that work for the FBI that are agents that they hate the fact that Kash Patel says something along the lines of like, let cops be cops, let the good, something like that. And they're like, we're not cops. We're special agents with the FBI. Right, I think this is so stupid.
It is a dramatic change. As you say, 9/11 changed the FBI almost overnight and focused upon these larger, even international matters that also are important to keep us all safe. Again, the FBI is a domestic law enforcement agency, but does have to have those tendrils overseas. You bet it does, out of necessity. And now we're basically redefining, by virtue of this employment action, as you say, 5,000 people, we're going to be changing dramatically what the FBI does. And that's not just an administrative wonky thing to talk about. It is going to dramatically change the kinds of crimes that we investigate and prosecute. And therefore, as you said, Maggie, I'll repeat to underscore what the point you just made, which is those top level in terms of the major complex international crimes, the big, big bank frauds, the scams that are out there. That's what the FBI is good at. And yes, also some other agencies like ATF and others out there. DEA, who do those kinds of things. You're no longer looking at those. You are changing the way that we are safe and secure, and we are less so as a result of this action.
Chris O'Leary, a former FBI agent and senior counterterrorism official, called this plan the latest example of Donald Trump's, quote, generational destruction of the FBI. When we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump trying to federalize law enforcement in Chicago and what the governor of our neighboring state, Illinois, had to say about it. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We'll be back with you in just a moment.